And when I told him that, he goes,
Okay, I think we're ready. Ready?
Ready. We'll start our meeting on the budget. Ready? Gonna turn. Take roll, please.
Buchanan?
Here.
Wise?
Here.
Ballinger?
Here.
Edmonds?
Here.
Srulik?
Here. We'll turn the meeting over to the CEO of the hospital for the budget.
Thank you, Mayor. City Council. You've been presented with a package that contains our budget for fiscal year 2022. This particular fiscal year was particularly challenging to budget for because what we have here is a fiscal year 2021 that was involved a shutdown of services last March, and that continued until May, which was the beginning of the fiscal year 2021. So we had to work with a projected budget, projected actual numbers for the first 8 months that were starting with a shutdown and then increasing 5% each month until we got to something that was more normal. So what we have is a shutdown year that we have to compare to a reopening year. 2022 is our reopening budget. So the budget, it's typically a comparison of the 8 months normalized activity to for 12 months as your base. But this was not a normal year. We had that forced shutdown of all but essential operations. So as a result, we're presenting a conservative budget for 2022. And that conservative budget includes an excess of revenue over expenses of $233,262. So we're being conservative with our revenue. It's a blended 3% revenue increase for the year. But our expenses include assumes that all positions are filled, including the vacant physician position that we have. Now, we've never really in the last 6 years filled all of our positions, but the budget includes all filled positions, and it includes adjustments where necessary for meeting minimum wage requirements in certain job categories and things like that. We feel pretty certain that we'll be able to meet this budget, but it was important to stay conservative because of this very unusual one-time comparison to a shutdown year compared to what is now a reopening year. And in fact, as of now, we're at about 98% of normal operations in terms of revenue, so we're feeling good about that. On the capital budget, I just want to make the point that our hospital board has reviewed this capital budget extensively to ensure that it's realistic in terms of being managed by the limited staff that we have, that is, we are capable of managing it, and at the same time that the numbers that we have here are as shovel ready as possible, that we have designs that are already ready for bidding. So we've got $2.5 million in the capital budget for this year, and we've got $135,000 of carryover for things that were already approved but are going to be paid for in 2022. And so then there's the contingency budget area of $1,978,000, and that is for things that are not shovel ready. That is for items that are equipment that potentially could break down. We hope it doesn't, but we have to plan for that. And then there's some strategic reviews of what we're going to do with buildings and possible real estate and so forth, and we'll be working with some consultants on that. But that's all in the contingency area. So in the $2.5 million capital budget, the largest item is the $800,000 for a CT scanner, which is budgeted for the second quarter. And that CT scanner will actually have a return on investment. It sounds like a lot of money, but we'll have a return on investment in less than 1 year. That's how much revenue it generates. That that unit that we have is was planned for 5 years, but we bought it in 2009. And so as a result, for the last couple of years, we've been experiencing maintenance expenses and a couple days, there was actually a shutdown. So we can't have that anymore, and we gotta get a new one. And that is budgeted for the second quarter. That's the largest item of the capital budget. But all the other items in there are items that were already in place, such as the lab remodeling for phase two, which couldn't start until we were done with the pharmacy. The main campus parking lot and the emergency room ramp replacement. These things are in motion and ready for bid. And other items that need to be replaced in this fiscal year 2022. Any questions?
No questions?
Nope.
Thank you for your time.
All right. Public questions? We'll wait a while and see if there's anybody out in the public have any questions for you, Paul. We have some people online, do you know? Nobody online?
No, I don't think there's anybody.
Okay. Thank you, Steve. Thanks, Paul. We'll turn the meeting over to our city treasurer.
So on the city side of the budget, hopefully everyone's had plenty of opportunity to review it. This will be projecting our seventh year in a row of being able to add to our reserves in the general fund, which is outstanding. Several of those budgets have actually been projected to dip in reserves, but we've ended those fiscal years all in the past. So that's.
I can't hardly hear.
Is that better, Tom?
Yeah, I can hear that.
Okay. I was just commenting on this is projecting to be the seventh year in a row that we'll be able to add to the reserves in the general fund, which, if you remember, several of those budget years were actually projected to dip into reserves, but we ended up at the positive at the end of the year. This also projects the ninth year in a row of being able to add to our reserves in our self-funded health insurance fund, which again is absolutely amazing. Before that, we had a streak of very bad luck health-wise in the plan and had dwindled that down to almost being out of reserves in that fund. So this year, again, we're not doing any increases to premiums. Because that fund is doing really well right now. One of the things Tom wanted me to talk on a little bit was our pension funds and where they stand right now. As you guys remember, we joined IMRF as an employer in December of 2010, so we're still a fairly new employer at IMRF, which causes an immediate unfunded liability when you join. We made the commitment between us and the hospital to get that unfunded liability paid down, and I'm very happy to report on the GASB 50 statement that I just handed out to all of you this past week, we are currently at 99.2% funded in IMRF, and that's for GASB 50, which does not include the retirees, and that's what they figure your employer rate based on. And then GASB 68 method is what they add in the retirees back into it, and that's what they use for your audit reporting method. And on that method, we're actually 108.64% funded. So that affects the employer rate that we pay. Our current rate this year is 7.67%. The 2022 projected rate, which we just received, is dropping down to 5.73%. And at the highest peak, we were at 14.57%. So our future rate, it will be almost a third of what our highest was. Our police pension fund is currently at 87.94% funded, and our fire pension fund is at 82.34% funded. So all of these much better than any of the state systems. So those obviously help taxpayers keep the taxes low, and keep them down by not having to increase those to fund unfunded pensions, unfunded liabilities. The total budget expenses and capital for all departments is just over $11.3 million. General fund, not including transfers to other funds, is right around $4.5 million total expenses. Our current year, again, Paul commented on the pandemic and what effect that had on the hospital. We had a lot of the same fears. We put out some memos mid-year to you guys about that. You know, we put in place a temporary hiring freeze, capital freeze. Very pleased to report that most of our revenue line items are actually going to exceed last year's, even with all the pandemic shutdown this past year. Sales tax is going to end higher than last year. The state shared revenues with income tax and use tax are going to be higher than last year. So we're actually luckily ending up in a very good position. A lot of other communities I'm not hearing the same things from. A lot of them were totally devastated with sales tax numbers. So we're in a very unique position there that we stayed strong. I don't really have anything else unless you guys have questions on any of it.
Tom, got any comments? Is he still with you?
Tom, you got anything to add to that?
No, I sure don't. I think you're pretty thorough.
Okay. Thank you, Clint. That'll end our budget meeting.
Need a motion to adjourn?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
Call the roll, please.
Weiss?
Yes.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Truly?
Yes. Meeting adjourned.
Steve.
Hey, Tim.
Okay. Ready?
Okay. We're getting our meeting started. We'll stand and do the pledge, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. I'll have the clerk call the roll.
Ballinger.
Here.
Edmonds?
Yes, here.
Buchanan?
Here.
Weiss?
Here.
Truly?
Here. Need a motion to approve our minutes of our last meeting, April the 5th.
I'll make it.
Motion. Motion's been made.
I'll second it.
We got a second. Any questions on our minutes of our last meeting? If not, call the roll, please.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Weiss?
Yes.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Truelig?
Yes. When the clerk's ready, we'll have her read the bills and payroll.
General Administration, $6,720.68. Economic Development, $7,268.92. Police, $2,691.49. Fire, $253.82. Street, $4,253.98. Parks, $244.01. Public Health and Safety, $10,875.50. Liability insurance, $75. Garbage disposal, $78.08. Cemetery, $4,275.82. Water operations, $24,831.68. Sewer operations, $3,217.62. Special tax allocation, TIF 1, $39,215. Warner Hospital and Health Services operating account, $562,083.11.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Have a motion to approve the bills and payroll as read.
I move that motion. To approve the bills and payroll.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Weiss?
Yes.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Trulick?
Yes. Next on the agenda, we have the mapping gentleman's here this evening. Talk to us about the mapping of the cemetery, I think is what we're doing.
Yeah. Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Hey, it's nice to be back and see you guys. It's been a long time, but we're
glad to see you.
What's that? Yeah, we're excited to present to you kind of our progress on the GIS stuff that we've been working on with the city. We are mostly talking about the cemetery tonight and then also zoning, but we're also doing the water system, wastewater system, and the storm sewer system. So it's exciting for, I know a few of you guys are familiar, can go back many, many years, and we had all the stuff on paper and struggling to keep track of stuff. It's really cool to see how, you know, we've got this all online, and as we progress through doing this field work, that you're just going to have great online records that anybody can access anywhere. And so today, Ryan Eckdale Dudley is the gentleman that I've been working with a lot on this. Him and his group do these systems all over the country, literally. So it's exciting to bring this to Clinton. And I think we've got Ryan ready to share his screen here. So we've prepared what we call like a story map that'll kind of talk through what we've done with the cemetery and zoning and show you a little bit of the progress that we've made on the sewer system and the water system. Because I think you guys know your staff is helping collect that data. So we've been kind of collaborating, working together where you guys are providing the field support. And that is scheduled to resume hopefully in the next few weeks.
Hope so.
Hopefully. But we're making progress and we'll show you where we're at with there. Let's see here. Is Ryan, are you ready to share?
I'm ready. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
All right. Excellent. So I am going to go ahead and just stop my video if that's okay. And I'm going to go ahead and share my screen. And if you guys can just confirm that you can see my screen okay on the wall over there.
Yes.
So I am getting a message that the host disabled participant screen sharing, so you may have to enable that for me.
So Steve, can you do that for?
I think I did that. Try it now.
Now we got you on our screen.
That seemed to work.
There we go.
Okay.
There we go.
All right, so you guys should see my mouse moving around and a page saying the City of Clinton GIS map.
Yeah, looks good.
All right, real quick, just an introduction. Thank you, Greg, for that. My name is Ryan Eckdale Dudley. I am the GIS team leader at Symbiont, and I just wanted to thank you guys for giving us the opportunity to provide this brief update and also to be working on this very fun and interesting project with the city. And so what I'm going to cover tonight is a couple things. I'm going to give you a real high level project update of what's been completed and what's in the works. I'm going to demonstrate two of the recently completed public facing GIS applications, including the zoning map and the cemetery map. I'm also going to highlight some progress on the other project tasks, as Greg mentioned, related to the utility mapping. And then if time permits, I'm going to share with council an example GIS system, essentially to get you guys aligned on what Clinton can expect in terms of a final product. And I'm going to use one of my existing clients, the Village of Saukville, who is located in Wisconsin, and they have a population of 4,300, so a smaller community. And then if I can open up for any questions or comments. So with that, I wanted to just share this page If any of you have noticed recently, there is a new tab on the city's website that says GIS. And so when you click on that, this is the screen that you'll see. And right now we've got two public-facing applications that we have created, and they're accessible to the public through that page. So over time, there could be the potential that new maps will appear here as well. So just real briefly, I want to demonstrate the zoning map. If you guys haven't had a chance to check that out, I'm going to go ahead and minimize this. So the zoning map allows, people interested in finding what zoning is in an interactive mapping platform. So a couple different ways to use this. I could simply just zoom in to a location on the map and see what the zoning is. And I've got it. There's a legend over here that simplifies what those zoning classifications are. Or if I had an address, I could use this to just search. So I'll just type in an address here and click on one. And within a matter of a couple seconds, I've got zoning information that I can basically visualize. I also have a hot link here that links right to the zoning code information. So if I click on here, I can find out exactly what that zoning information is. I'll go ahead and so the next application that I'd like to demonstrate is the cemetery mapping application, and I wanted to give you guys a little bit of background on the process of this application and some of the things that we did as part of developing this. So last fall we actually came and flew a drone and captured high resolution imagery of the entire cemetery. We felt that this was necessary to accurately be able to see where all of the gravestones were. So it depicted in this application is one of the products of the drone imagery that you can see here. The next step in that project was to acquire all of the historical paper maps from the city and have those scanned so that we could digitize all of the cemetery blocks as well as have those for archival purposes. So that was really interesting because I learned that actually some of the old maps were on old paper shades. So it was really kind of a neat process. As part of that, we then integrated all of the burial records that were in a access database. And just to give you an idea of how many, there's 45,630 records in that database. As part of our project, we created two different applications. The one that you're seeing now is the public-facing application, and I'll demonstrate this in a second. And the second one is an internal application that can be used internally for staff to keep the information up to date within the system. So you can actually go to this website, and if I'm interested in learning, you know, where someone is based on their name, I can use a simple tool to find them. So, for instance, I'll click on the search by deceased name. And I can go into here and just start to type someone that I'm looking for. And we'll pretend I'm looking for someone with the last name of Drake. And I can hit apply. And it looks like there's actually seven different folks that with the last name of Drake. And then you have instant access to all of their information that was stored in the access database of, you know, when they were buried, when they died, their age, and where they are in the cemetery. So if I was looking for Mary Ann Drake, I could click on this button here, and it's going to show me exactly which block that is in the cemetery. So if I zoom out, you can get a sense of where that is. The other thing that we did as part of this project that you can use within here, and I'll just turn the legend on and let me zoom out. And hopefully this is responding nicely on your screen. I can't tell. But one of the things that Tim was very interested in is having a map that showed the vacancy of where there were still lots available within the cemetery. And so if I click on this button here and select cemetery grave availability, it's going to show within, I guess, graphically, you know, where there's availability. So the red lots have less availability versus the green, and then the ones that aren't in color are actually not available. So this could be a tool for the community to maybe identify specific, burials for purchase. The other part of the cemetery application is something that we're working on, is a case study, and I just want to share that with the group very quickly. While we were out capturing the drone imagery, one of the things that we created was, or captured, was a lot of other video. And I thought it was very compelling that we were, use this video to help share this project. And so I just want to kind of scroll through here what we're building. This is still a work in progress. But I see this as a resource that, you know, we can talk about, the history of the cemetery, and not only the history of what we did, but, you know, the importance of the cemetery. And so Tim actually put me in touch with a local historian, and I've been working with her to develop some information about some of the special people that are buried in the cemetery. And I'll just kind of scroll through here to give you a sense of what we're building. So I just wanted to share that with the team, with the group. It will be available through a website as well, in the next few months for people to view and interact with. Moving along, I wanted to give everyone a quick update on the GPS mapping progress. So with the utility mapping, what we've done to date is created a framework for the city staff to capture location and asset information related to the storm, sanitary, water, and street. And so what you're seeing now is actually each of these dots on the map represent a different asset that's been collected, and we're using this dashboard to monitor the progress of that GPS. So to date, the city staff has collected, I would say, maybe a fifth of the city. And as Greg mentioned just a minute ago, they'll be working in the next few weeks to continue that. As part of that process, here at Symbiont, we are using as-built and other resources to basically connect the dots. So we're developing, the line work that connects the points that the city staff are using in the field to collect information.
Hey, Ryan, real quick. So, like, one of the cool things with this is, like, if you go to a manhole or you go to an inlet or you go to a water valve, you can put as much information in there about that specific asset as you want to. I mean, you don't have to do that, but that's the kind of stuff that the guys can add over time. So this is a living, breathing document. The other cool thing, like, when he was showing you how, we've just kind of worked up in that upper northeast area, the cool thing was I can sit back in my office in Peoria, or Ryan can be in his office, and you can literally see those guys when they're pinging a point. That stuff is updating live real time. So it's really cool, and it's fully accessible to anybody that wants to take a look at it. Go ahead, Ryan. Sorry about that.
No, thanks, Greg. And so just to give you I wanted to give the group a sense of what you could expect in terms of, maybe the next presentation. And I wanted to use Saukville just as a very quick example. And so for Saukville and for Clinton, one of the things that you'll have is basically a one-stop shop to access all of your GIS data that is being collected as part of this project. And so Saukville, you can see they have a number of different layers that they've or types of data that they've been adding, but I just wanted to just kind of share this with everyone. It's as Greg mentions, it's all web-based. It's intended for people with, you know, not GIS experts to use, to leverage. So if I wanted to, like, turn on the hydrants, I'm going to go ahead and turn on a couple other layers. They have their water main valves in here, and one of the neat things about this is, you know, not only can we just show where it is, but we can show important information about that asset. So in this example, it's showing where the water main valves based on the last year it was exercised. You know, same goes for, like, something like the water main pipes. So let me go ahead and turn on the water pipes. And as Greg mentioned, I can click on this pipe. I can find out all the critical information, you know, what it's made of, how big it was, maybe when it was installed, how long it was. I can also view that in another way. So if I want to view, well, I don't want to just see the pipes, but I want to see them, what they're by, what they're made of, and maybe their diameter. So within a couple seconds, I can get a quick indication of what, you know, my system looks like. They also are using this system to document activities as they occur. So for instance, when they get a water main break or a water pipe break, they document it in the GIS. So if I click on this, you can see each of these red dots represents a water pipe break, or another thing that they're tracking is actually water service leaks within here. So not only water is built into this, you can also, you know, think of all the other things. For instance, they're, you know, using this to document, you know, where all their signs are, where all their trees are, and the list goes on. And I just wanted to give everyone a quick demo of that Clinton, as part of our project, will be developing a similar viewer that will allow city staff to share information about all the critical assets under one easy-to-use platform. And then lastly, you know, one of the other components is building in these dashboards. And so as the city staff begins to use the GIS, it becomes not only a system of record, but a system of documentation where, you know, in this example, we're identifying water pipe breaks, and they're using the system in the field to document when and where those are occurring, which is allowing them to make, you know, better, more informed decisions for aging infrastructure. So in this example, if I wanted to look at, you know, just all the pipe breaks that occurred this year, I could click on this chart, and my map is going to update and show me where they're happening over this last year. And if I was really interested, I could go in and look at all the details that were provided as part of that record, and in addition to any photos. So they got really photo happy here. It looks like they took 9 photos related to this one water main break. But it's a simple, easy integration. And so just wanted to kind of highlight where we're headed in terms of this project.
And one quick thing, too, with this is for the guys in the field, I mean, they can basically enter this with their phones. So it doesn't have to be, you can make it as involved as you want it to be, right? I think sometimes people look at this and say, my gosh, how would you ever populate this information? But, you know, starting where we're at and just gradually working on it, that's the other cool thing about this is it can be built over time, right? You don't have to do all this at once. It just can be gradually ramped up as you see fit. Because another thing I think is cool with this is, like, with your water main breaks, you know, a lot of communities struggle to track that, to make a determination on when is it more cost effective to replace that main versus continue to go out and repair it. Same thing with your roads. What's the other thing that we have part of this is to look at doing, you know, doing some sort of just a little bit, not anything too elaborate, but just to give Steve a little bit of an idea of the condition of the roads so that he can coordinate his motor fuel tax or his seal coating with that, but at the same time, like, making sure that you're not seal coating a road that's had 3 leaks in the past 5 years and it's ready for a water main replacement. So this kind of system can, I think, make things a lot more efficient too. So I think that's another big benefit for it.
Greg, that's all I had. I don't know if there was any other questions.
Any questions? We're good.
Fascinating.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting, man, particularly when you've been around in the old days and we were just dealing with it on paper and trying to map the system. So it's it'd be nice to have this completed.
Well, Lloyd's sitting here, so he knows this statement. We had bosses that would always keep it in their head. They wouldn't draw it on a map, wouldn't take and put it down on paper. And it was all in their head because they thought that was job security. And no knock on them, because that was the way business was done in the past. And we had no idea where valves were at certain times. Some of them we found later on, like all the valves that come up from the plant up to the water tower. We never knew that almost every corner has a 14-inch valve and all that until we had some older guy that just remembered they'd put them there. And so we got to digging and we found them.
Rush out of college,
same
man.
Thing, the guys that would remember where manholes were that we had no idea they were buried under the road. So this is really innovative piece, because now we can go out and just ping it and know exactly where that shutoff valve is, where all these valves are. It makes it so much easier.
Yeah.
And like I say, it's not going to be just good old boy politics. I'll keep it in my head till I die, and then nobody knows where it's at, because we had that, and every little town did. But on your map with Sauk, it showed just exactly what we thought. We have streets that we say should have a zipper on them, because the main is getting bad, the infrastructure in every town is, and just like you're talking, why we want to fix a road when we know we need to repair that, and when the money's available, we got to replace main. So that is a very good tool.
It should help tremendously, and to your point, when I graduated from college, my very first job was down here in Clinton, and I spent about a year. I mean, you think about that. I spent about a year doing exactly what you're saying, figuring out where manholes were, creating a sewer system map. So this is an asset that will last, you know, after we're long gone, that for, you know, next generation of folks that are here in Clinton can use this. So, yeah, I have visions that when you go to do a small sewer, like say you're doing a block sewer project, or you're doing a block or two of water main, like I feel like we'll be able to take like that plan view that he was showing and basically put that on our drawing set, and I think that'll save us some money on engineering for projects in the future too, because I think we can use that. I mean, you're not going to be able to do that on a major big project, but on a small project, I think we can do that instead of doing as much topo survey. So I think there's going to be a lot of ways to use this. And the other thing is, like, you know, like that story map that Ryan showed. I mean, you could do that for your parks. You could do that for something like Apple, like in any kind of situation that you had that you wanted to do something like that. It looks complicated, and I'm not minimizing the work that you did, because there's a lot behind it. But to put that together for something special that you guys had going on, like, you know, anything that you could think of, like any, like even for your businesses or like, you know, anything. There's is the anything you could conceive that you wanted to do or track, you could do this with the GIS system. So a lot of cool stuff we can do with it.
I was impressed with the cemetery with showing the background and the things that showed people and what they had done. That was a lot. That was very interesting, and people like to look that up and see it. Yeah. So that was interesting.
It's a draw for the community for sure. Yeah. So excited to. Yeah, so we're thankful. Thanks for the opportunity. We appreciate working with you guys, and it's been a fun job so far.
Same here.
Thanks, guys.
Same here.
Thanks, Greg. Yeah. Thanks, everybody. Have a good night.
We'll move on down to some department appointments. You got some motions for them, please.
Motion to appoint Ryan Black to the Fire and Police Commission, said term to expire May 1st, 2024.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Any discussion on it? If not, call the roll, please.
Weiss?
Yes.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Really.
Yes. Next is the reappointment to the Planning Commission.
Motion to reappoint Dana Corneman to the Clinton Planning Commission, said term to expire May 1st, 2024.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Wise?
Yes.
Really.
Yes. Next is the reappointment to the police pension.
Motion to reappoint Brandon Robinson to the police pension board, said term to expire May 1st, 2023.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Wise?
Yes.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Truly?
Yes. Next is the reappointment to the Tree City Commission.
Motion to reappoint Mary Mitchell Stites to the Tree City Commission, said term to expire May 1st, 2024.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Any discussion on that one? Call the roll, please.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Wise?
Yes.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Truly?
Yes. I'll make one comment. We appreciate all these people that contribute their time for the city, and we really appreciate it. We'll move down to some of our reports. We'll start out with the streets and public improvement.
Just got a couple things. We finalized the dates for the citywide cleanup. It's going to be June 1st through July 30th. There's only been one weekend they can take out to landfill, and that will be July the 10th. They'll take from 6 to 3 in a day. And you have to come up here to get your voucher. You're allowed one voucher per home and one load. Also, guys are picking up brush this week. And I want to remind people that we're back to our ordinance this month, that you have to have your size limit of the truck load. And also, anything like leaves and stuff would have to be put in the biodegradable bags. So that's all I have.
Okay, thank you. Move on to public property.
I told them I'd like to talk for about an hour, but they didn't like that again. So I've got Lloyd here for a change, and I'm going to let him kind of give an update and if there's anything special and going on and how everything's going with him.
Nothing special. We're working all over the city. Everybody's working together. We're trying to fill in while Steve's gone and fill his shoes. It was kind of tough. But we're getting a lot done, trying to get ready for Memorial Day. Everything's going well. Everybody's really busy. And we hope to, by the 1st of May, get back on our locating our valves, our manholes, and everything we have to do there. The winter slowed us down. Everything was come to a stop. But we can get a lot done in a short amount of time once we can get back out there. It just takes the manpower to do it. And we'll have a lot done here by the middle of summer.
You guys had a good system going. Yep. And, you were getting, what were we getting, 500, 600 points? We get a whole bunch of points a day.
Yeah, we were having a lot of luck.
Good. Good.
I also know we've had a lot of leaks lately, and some of them have been real bears. So,
yes.
I had a couple that was pretty outstanding, having to cut out valves and trying to fit everything back, and it's been interesting. And that's about the only word I can give. I don't go over the news waves, but do appreciate it. I know you guys worked a lot of different hours, and it's been pretty tough on some of them. So appreciate that out of the whole crew and the street department helping when they can with it. And it all comes together, and it all helps. So appreciate it.
I do want to thank the guys. They've really been working hard this last few weeks, like Lloyd said, or more than that, getting together and doing a lot of work, getting a lot of things done.
Well, I appreciate it, and I know the guys all appreciate it. So that's all I have.
Well, disappointing. Thank you.
I know. I'm filibustered tonight, darn it.
Yeah. We'll move on down to public health and safety.
Ben, you got anything? Ben's gone. Okay. He don't have anything.
Okay.
I just want to mention that this last week was the first round of mowing at the parks and cemetery, and Tim and I both met with them, and I feel they did a good job. So
good. You
know, hopefully it keeps going that way going forward. Sure. But and they got in and got it done like they said it would. So other than that, that's all I have.
Okay. Thank you. We'll move down to accounts and finance. Tom?
I don't have anything.
Okay, thank you. We'll move down to our unfinished business. Yeah, motion for our fiscal year 2022 budget.
Motion to adopt ordinance number 1533, an ordinance adopting budget fiscal year 2022.
I make the motion.
Second.
Motion's been made and second. Any discussion on the budget? Call the roll, please.
Wise?
Yes.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Truly?
Yes. Next is the donation for the fireworks. You have a motion for that?
Yeah. Motion to approve the donation of $7,000 to the Clinton Community Fireworks.
I'd make that motion.
Second it.
Any discussion on the fireworks? Hopefully they'll go off on time this year with no interruptions. I'm sure the public is looking forward to some of it, which we didn't have last year. Call the roll, please.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Wise?
Yes.
Srulik?
Yes. Next is a motor fuel tax summer maintenance program.
Motion to approve resolution 2021-1, resolution for maintenance under the Illinois Highway Code in the amount of $101,000 for 2021 MFT summer maintenance.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Any discussion on that one? If not, call the roll, please.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Wise?
Yes.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Strelick?
Yes. Next is the ordinance amending Chapter 8, Title 7 on the water rates.
Motion to adopt ordinance number 1534, ordinance amending Section 7-8-3A of the City Code of the City of Clinton, Illinois, water rate increase.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Wise?
Yes.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Srulik?
Yes. Next is the ordinance approving the termination of TIF 3.
Motion to adopt ordinance number 1535, an ordinance approving the termination of the Clinton Tax Increment Financing TIF District 3 Redevelopment Project Area Plan and Projects.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Any discussion? Tell us where that area is, Tim, just for...
That is the Kelly Court, the Mariah Park area where the movie theater is, the Dairy Queen in that area. And that time frame has just expired.
Okay, thank you. Call the roll, please.
Wise?
Yes.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Srulik?
Yes. That'll drop us down to new business, and we're going to place one item on file. We got a resolution authorizing the sale of surplus property at 1003 East Washington Street. We'll be publishing that in the paper. With that, that's the close of our session. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
Most been made it. And second, call the roll, please.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Wise?
Yes.
Srulik?
Yes. Meeting adjourned. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Good seeing you.
Thank you. See you, Tom. See you, Tom.
See you, guys.